I would like to share with you some thoughts about the Word of God and the significance of the Word of God. Today, the Word of God commonly refers to the whole Bible. But I think with some study and diligence in study, we can see that the Word of God is only a part of the Bible. And I want to read, want us to read this morning in Luke chapter 8. And I want to read from verse 4 through 11, extended passage of Scripture. A little bit long to put in the notes, so I'm going to just read them. And you can follow along in your Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 beginning. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. By the way, the word "a" should be translated "the." A particular sower went forth to sow the seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The significance of this statement is that not all of the crowd had ears. Otherwise, there would be no need to say, "If you've got ears, you better listen." Okay? And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables." In other words, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are for those who have ears to hear. Others that don't have ears to hear will not be able to, they'll hear the message, but they won't be able to understand the message. Continuing, it says, "But to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God." The parables were a tool by which the Lord Jesus Christ taught the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And in this case, it was the mystery of the kingdom of God. They are synonymous. And so, the Word of God, the seed that he was sowing, is the Word of God, and it is the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so therefore we see that the Word of God is not for everyone to understand, and to, as he says, not able to see and not able to understand. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So the Word of God is a unique part of the Bible for a unique people. Okay? Hebrews chapter 5 is another passage I want us to look at. Verse 11 beginning, and says, "We have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." The writer of the book of Hebrews had things he wanted to share, but because of their hearing ability, it made it very difficult for him to share some things. Though we find out in chapter 6 that he is really not persuaded that they are of that condition. So he goes on and explains what he is trying to share. And we eventually will get into that. It says, We have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Being dull of hearing means that they had ears to hear, but they are just cannot make out what is trying to be shared. Verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's interesting to note in this particular passage the need of milk is for those who are dull of hearing. You have need that, in other words, the milk really wasn't helping them any, and they needed to begin again where they should have been established. And so they needed to have more milk. Milk, by the way, is pre-digested food. If you just think about how milk is made, a cow eats grass and hay, digests it, and then it makes milk. So milk is pre-digested food. It doesn't take a lot of digestive juices to assimilate milk when you think about a little baby and having milk. His digestive system is not mature yet. But anyway, the milk is needed. Another thing, too, is that the word strong meat is two words. This word strong is solid. You need some solid, not meat as such, but food. And I make the distinction here that this is solid food because the solid food does not come from a slab of, from a side of a cow. Okay, this is not talking about steak off of an animal. This is talking about solid food, and in the context, it's the solid food in milk. That's the point. Okay? Now, he tells them in verses 12 and 14, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, be the first principles. You need the basics. This is the word basics in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, talks about the elements. When the earth catches fire, the elements, the basic fundamentals in which the earth is made up of will melt. So it has to do with the elementary, the basic, the lowest form of spiritual food, so to speak, in this sense. You need the first principles of the oracles of God and become and have need of milk and not of solid food. And again, this food, I believe, comes from the milk and not from a cut of steak off the animal. Now, what is milk? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 helps us understand who the milk is for. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat or victuals. This word meat here is a different word than found in Hebrews, but it has the same thought, solid food. And the reason why these needed milk is because they were carnal. Carnal Christians need milk. Because the milk of the word teaches you to quit being carnal, quit being in the flesh, quit ministering to the things of the flesh. In fact, it continues here. He says, he fed them with milk because they weren't able to bear the strong food or the victuals, with meat. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. These are characteristics of babes. A child envies his playmates. What? Toys. He gets tired of his own toys and he wants his playmate's toys. He wants his sister's or his brother's toys. So what does he do? He jerks them away if he's strong enough to do so. And there's strife. Bickering. Fighting. Divisions. I'm not going to play with you anymore type thing, you know? You know, that happens in churches today. Divisions. And so the kind of food that these people need is milk. And it tells us to not envy one another and not to struggle with one another and not to go off in a huff against one another. That's what the milk teaches. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the milk of the Word as well. And notice, this verse does not even talk about the resurrection. It's just talking about, I determine not to know anything among you except the plan of salvation. The resurrection message came in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know, a dozen chapters away or better. Now, I want us to be aware of the fact that we have the whole Bible, and then in the Bible is the Word of God. And we see that in the word truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved, and I believe this has to do with the common salvation, that's why Jesus Christ died for all, and not only for them to be saved, but come unto the knowledge, and this word knowledge is epinosis. Epinosis means knowledge upon knowledge, a working knowledge of truth. Now the King James includes the word thee, but this word thee is not there. What this is saying is that God wants all of us to be saved and to have a working knowledge of the Bible, the Scriptures. But when it comes to the truth, that's a different story. Let's continue here. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Truth has to do with the Scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened ye their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Notice that the Scriptures includes the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. We know that they also include the historical books as well. And, of course, the prophetical books has to do with those that were prophets. Of course, Samuel is a historical book, but Samuel was a prophet. So the Scriptures is what we need to appreciate. It contains everything. It is not the truth, but truth. I want you to get that distinction. We're talking about truth here and not the truth. There's a difference. And I want you to get that, okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we're talking about the Scriptures. Paul, when he went to the synagogues, what did he use? Well, of course, he used the Word of God too, but he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 17, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, which was the synagogue of the Jews, verse 1, and three Sabbath days reason with them out of the Scriptures, that is, out of the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. And so he used the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration, or is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That has to do with right living. That the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scriptures are good. But in contrast to the Scriptures, our truth is the truth. And we see that in the next two passages that I have here in John 16:13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of the truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will show you things to come. What does the truth have to do with? Things to come. What does the Word of God, or the mysteries of the kingdom of God, have to do with? Things to come. And it's interesting that, and it's not in our notes, but I want to share it with you anyway, and we'll get into it at another time. But in the passage in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul says, I'd like to talk to you about Melchizedek, but I'm having a hard time doing that because you can't hear very well. Because Melchizedek was our high priest concerning what? Good things to come. And so the truth pertains to things to come. In John 18:37, it says, For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What was Jesus preaching when he came? He was preaching, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preaching the Word of God. He was preaching the truth. And he was using the Scriptures to support his ministry. Because the truth is in truth, or the Scriptures. Okay? So he says, I would should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Present active. And notice that if they hear his voice, they have ears to hear. Absolutely, they have ears to hear. So what are the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Who are they for? They're for those who have ears to hear. So we have a distinction here. And the distinction is the truth, which is the Scriptures. And then in the Scriptures we have the Word of God, which is for those who have ears to hear. It's included in it. It's just like milk. The milk of the Word, which we all need, and it's like the milk of the Word, is the Scriptures. Then in the milk, we find butter that we need to be able to discern between good and evil. But let's go on to show the fact that there are some things that are hidden. And one of the things that's hidden is, of course, the butter. When you look at milk, you don't see butter. It just looks white, and it's, you know, if it's cold, it's nice. But anyway, you just don't see the butter. It's in there, though. So there are some things that are hidden, and one of the things that's hidden in milk is butter. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21 and 23, it says, In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Notice that the revelation of the Father is done on by the Son, and it is done by him by special choice. He doesn't do it to everybody. The Father is not revealed to everybody. Even though people pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," they pray that prayer. There's a difference in the Father being revealed and just reading the name of the word Father on a piece of paper out of the Bible. Okay? Now let's continue. "And he turned unto his disciples and said privately." This is private information. This information is for you and it's not for them. Some things are hidden. And even the truth pertaining to him or Jesus being the Son has to be revealed. That's private information as well. So what does it say? "Blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see." They had eyes to see, and not only that, they had ears to hear as well. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1:26, "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations is now made manifest to his saints." There are some things that have just been hidden and are being revealed. Ephesians 3 talks about the mystery being made known in verse 3 through 6. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Notice, who is it that reveals the truth? It's the Spirit that reveals the truth, and I believe this is the Holy Spirit's ministry. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs." And this is not talking about fellow heirs here on the earth. This is talking about being fellow heirs in heaven. Gentiles were guaranteed an inheritance among the tribe in which they dwelt. And you find that in Ezekiel 47:23. "And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance." So the Gentiles had always been able to be saved to begin with. Secondly, they always had an inheritance in the land or among the tribe in which they dwelt. But when it came to a heavenly inheritance, there was a time when Gentiles were not included. This is the mystery of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens, ruling and reigning from the heavens. "So that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." The parables were given to hide truth, which we've already seen. In Matthew 13:10-11, it says, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." That was hidden from them. And of course, we have already read from Luke chapter 8 that it was the mysteries of the kingdom of God that were given to those who had ears to hear. Now, strong meat. We've already alluded to the fact that the strong meat is solid food. And that solid food comes out of the milk. The solid food is in the milk. It's not a piece of steak. It's not a piece of flesh. It's a piece of solid food, and that solid food comes out of the milk. In Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy from Isaiah. And in verse 15 it says, "And butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." The passage I failed to read was Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. So I'm going to read it now so that you can tie in the refuse the evil and choose the good of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15, with the last part, the last phrase of this verse. But it says that the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice, it's the senses exercise will allow you to discern good and evil. Well, it's interesting, the word exercise, the root word is naked. In other words, the word exercise comes from the Greek word meaning naked. And what this is talking about is that when you're working hard and you're digging a ditch, what do? Well, if you're a man, you take a shirt off. And if it's still too hot, you take your undershirt off. So what this is talking about, to have your senses exercised to discern good and evil, means you have to work hard enough that you need some relief from the heat. That's the idea that I get out of this. Exercising your senses is hard work, to the point that you need some relief from the heat that you would generate. Now, I'm not talking about literally here. I don't think this is talking about literal heat. But it's talking about to have your senses exercised. It means that it's hard work. That's what it means, okay? Now, what this means is the butter part of it. In Proverbs 30, verse 33, surely the churning of butter bringeth forth butter. Now, we don't churn milk, we churn cream. If you churn milk, you're going to have to take off your shirt to make butter. You understand what I mean? It's going to take a lot of work churning milk to get butter out of it. That's the point I wanted you to see. But churning milk is what is needed to get the butter, since we don't have any cream. There's no cream of the Word. There is a sincere milk of the Word, okay, in 1 Peter 2. But it's the word sincere is also translated unadulterated, not mixed with something else. In other words, it's strictly milk. But to get butter, it takes a lot of work, particularly if you're churning milk. What is it making butter out of milk? What is the process? Well, we find it in Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? That is butter. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? This also has to do with butter. Them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. In other words, precept is butter fat. And you got to take the precept and apply it to another piece of butter fat. And then it's precept upon precept. You got to do it again. And then you got to find a line, another piece of butter fat, and apply it to another line. And you keep applying butter fat that's in the milk together until you get some clumps of butter. And then it's here a little, there a little. This is the churning of milk. And also it takes more than just butter. You got to have honey. And one passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 14:27 tells us that Jonathan put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Honey speaks of enlightenment. You can have all the butter in the world, but if you don't have any honey, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't come together. And so therefore, you got to have honey as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 tells us, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. This is faith and love. This is not salvation. This is faith in that you're pleasing God, and love, which makes it work. If you don't have any love, faith doesn't work. Period. And it has to do with the saints. It's not love in the world. It's love in the saints. It's caring for the saints. It's ministering to the saints. It's ministering to the brethren. Okay? Let's go on. Cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. I'm skipping some verses or some words so that you can get the gist of it. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deeper knowledge, knowledge upon knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, your heart, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling is unto His kingdom and glory. I like, Gene was sharing with me what Spurgeon said. If you got dirt in your heart, you got dust in your eyes. That's pretty neat. You got dirt in your heart, you got dust in your eyes, and you sure can't see when you have dust in your eyes. And so therefore we need our hearts enlightened. And so that we may know what the hope of His calling. In other words, be able to put it together and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So, we need to have enlightenment and honey. Now, I'm going to close with this. It's interesting that the disciples, after the resurrection of the Lord, they were out by the lake, and they had some fish, and they had some honeycomb. In Luke chapter 24, verse 41-42, it says, Jesus said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. Broiled fish, solid food, victuals, and honeycomb. It was, to me, it is very significant that the apostles were eating honey at the time, because in verse 45 it says, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Without enlightenment, without honey in your life, without enlightenment, you cannot understand. And you know what? God has made provision for those who He has called unto His kingdom and glory to be able to see. We just have to get down to having light clothing on. You know, I don't want to use this in terms of, I don't want you ladies to be left out, because I want you ladies to feel that you need to be able to sweat it out. Even though you may not be able to strip down, you need to know what it means to work hard to get the truth of the Scriptures. We all need it. We all need to have our senses exercised to discern that. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. Help us to appreciate the fact that You've given us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray, Lord, You'd help us to be willing to put in the effort to churn the milk, to get the butter, that we might discern between the good and the evil, and choose the good and eschew the evil, and that we might stand in Your presence approved. Bless the message again, I pray, to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.